If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 11. We'll start there. We'll be looking at a number of scriptures through the book of Proverbs. I'm going to read a couple other texts dealing with the family. We're at a story because we're going to be looking this morning at the book of Proverbs in relations to a mother and a wife. The book of Proverbs, God's instructions to women in Proverbs. And I read a story about a mother that put her two boys to bed. And after she put the boys, she got them ready, put them in bed, and slipped out of the room. And then she started preparing for bedtime herself. So she put on some old clothes. She washed her hair, put her hair up in a towel. Then she started applying cold cream to her face. And all of a sudden, she started hearing noise. Those of you that have children in your home, you recognize that scenario. And so started hearing a little bit of ruckus in the room. And so she went charging into the room, opened the door, let the boys have it, told them that if they didn't quiet down, that she was gonna light them up. She started heading out, and one of the boys looked at his brother and was like, "Who was that woman?" All right? We're going to be speaking about moms and wives. I have no idea if that really wasn't in the book of Proverbs, but in Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, you're in Proverbs 11, but I use this kind of as an introduction to the idea or concept that family is important. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And then in Psalm 127, David says this, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." In verse 3, it says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." In Proverbs 11, our text verse is Proverbs 11:16 and Proverbs 14 and verse 1. So in Proverbs 11 and verse 16, it says, "A gracious woman retaineth honor. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches." Proverbs 14 and verse 1 says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish," talking about a foolish woman, "plucketh it down with her hands." We're looking again, I'm reading that verse in Proverbs 11 and verse 16, and it says, "A gracious woman retaineth honor." You know, and hopefully these two verses will get us thinking about our topic here this morning, and that is, what does the book of Proverbs have to say about ladies? What does it have to say about a godly woman? You'll see in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 16, it says that there is such a thing as a gracious woman. And a lot of times in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs is taught, it's a lot of times just a simple thought. It's a simple sentence or two. And a lot of times it teaches by contrast, or it teaches by showing something maybe that we wouldn't necessarily connect to it. So notice in verse 16, "a gracious woman." So the second phrase says "a strong man." See, so it's comparing that. So a gracious woman is in comparison to a strong man. And as a gracious woman retains honor, a strong man retains riches. So there is a lesson right there for us as we begin. The lesson is this to us, and for the ladies, the moms, the wives, the ones that are maybe hoping to be wives, the little young ladies that are hoping someday to maybe have a family. The Bible says that a gracious woman retains honor just like strong men retain riches. And what do strong men have to do? Strong men have to put guards there. They have to be thinking. They have to contemplate. There takes some work, in essence, to be a gracious woman. Naturally, it's not going to happen. It means there has to be some work involved. So my challenge to our older ladies is, what work have you done in the last month to make sure that you're a gracious woman? To our moms, our mothers that are there, not just a wife but a mother that has young ladies in the home. So how are you passing this down so that they understand there's work to be done in order to be a gracious woman? Gracious woman is what we're going to be looking at. And in the Bible, I'm glad that the Bible gives us examples, because by the examples, the Bible is telling us this is not an impossible task. What does the Bible tell us? It tells us that of a number of examples. Sarah was an example of an obedient wife. And so thousands of years later, the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 says this about Sarah. Let me turn there. In 1 Peter 3, he says, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." All right, the Bible is telling us, here's an example. The Apostle Peter writes later, a couple of thousands of years later, about Abraham's wife named Sarah. Sarah is an example. Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1 was a consecrated wife and a wonderful mother who wanted her son to be used of the Lord. In the New Testament, we read of Lois and Eunice and an elect lady in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and in 2 John. Phoebe and her companions are listed in Romans chapter 16 as those that helped in the church. We can list others such as Priscilla and Lydia and Mary. All of these are examples in Scripture to show wives and mothers and godly ladies that gracious, honorable women are possible. It is possible to be a gracious, honorable lady, and it should be desired and sought after in our churches. There is no lower status because you were created female. In fact, even yesterday, I was thinking about this and I'm looking at the beginning of creation. And in Genesis chapter 2, it says that they were created in the image of God. And it says this: "In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." It seems to indicate in that text that even the lady was created in the image of God. And so thus, being a male or female, we are created in the image of God. And so don't take it as a knock and say, "Well, I'm in this day and age, I can't even figure out what ladies want to be treated like. I can't figure it out, because you open a door for them and they scowl at you. I can do that myself. Well, fine. Let me slam it." Like, so here we treat them with honor and don't do that. All right, so I guess I should just scowl at you. What we have to understand is the world is all messed up in regards to what a woman is and what a lady is. Why? Because many, many years ago, they tossed this book. And from this book, I get the understanding of what a godly lady is, what a godly woman is, what a godly mother is, what a godly wife is. And without this book, and without the guidelines of this book, there is no clue. It is only our thoughts. It is only our understanding. And my understanding, every way of man is right in his own eyes. Every way of man. That's what the book of Proverbs says. But guess what? I can go to Scripture and I can find clarity. And as ladies, as mothers, as wives, as a church that want our young ladies to grow up and be godly, gracious, honorable ladies, let's not make the mistake of getting our instruction from the world. Let's go to Scripture and ask God for His guidelines from the book of Proverbs in regards to a gracious woman. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning as we consider this topic. I pray that you would put our prejudices, our own thoughts aside, and we would bow to the authority of Scripture. And we let Scripture define our thoughts of godliness when it comes to moms and wives and young ladies. I pray that everything that is said would be honoring and glorifying to you. As always, Lord, I ask you to do that which I can't, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have two thoughts this morning that we're going to consider. So we're thinking of the gracious woman. So the first, and I'm hoping that this will not go on and on, but the first is kind of in the negative setting. So the first, I want to call our attention through the book of Proverbs to the disgraceful woman. What are characteristics of a disgraceful woman? And then we will consider the book of Proverbs at what are characteristics of a grace-filled woman. So the disgraceful woman. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 13. You're going to see four different times this is mentioned as far as disgracefulness, as far as actions of a woman. Four different times. Proverbs 19, verse 13. Notice what it says. A foolish son is the calamity of his father. So that's one thing to a dad, a father, a man of the home. So what is the other thing? And the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. So two things that can just devastate a dad and a husband. One is a foolish son. The other one is the continual dropping. Now this passage, remember, some people reference this to a faucet. All right, but remember, this is Proverbs. All right, Proverbs is written many, thousands of years ago. Solomon, it would probably be about 2600 years ago or something. And there wasn't too many faucets at that time. All right, Delta and Moen and some of those other ones, I don't think were in existence at that time. So what is this kind of referencing? Most believe that this is referencing a leak in the roof. All right, so they had houses. Most believe it's a leak in the roof, and most of us have had a leak in the roof. In fact, I have one right now that's in our bedroom, and that continual dropping is just, it can be very irritating. All right, it's a continual drip. It's just a nagging there. Matthew Henry, are familiar with that in our audience. Matthew Henry was a commentator in the 1700s. And so this is what he wrote about this. He said, a cross, peevish wife is great an affliction. Her contentions are continual every day and every hour in the day. She finds some occasion to make herself and those about her uneasy. Those that are accustomed to chide never want something or other to chide at. But it is a continual dropping. It is a continual vexation. As it is to have a house so much out of repair that it rains in and a man cannot lie dry in it. All right, so that's the idea then. The idea is that this contentions, it's just a continual uneasiness around this woman. All right, so one thing that is disgraceful in a woman is the contentious woman is unbearable. And I ask you then, as a wife, as a mother, are you unbearable? Now, don't ask your kids right at this moment because they're nudging you. All right, but are you unbearable? And what does it mean? I'm not saying that you cannot, as somebody has said, you know, my wife is angelic. Okay, she's harping all the time. All right, that's not what we're kind of referencing. We're not saying that you can't say something once in a while. I'm not saying that as a mother, as a wife, that you're supposed to, you know, some people have interpreted the passage in Timothy where it says that women are supposed to keep silent in the church, and they have transferred that to the home. All right, and so woman, be silent. Okay, well, I understand if you're a Neanderthal caveman, all right, but if you're a Neanderthal caveman, wife, maybe put him in a cave, all right, put him in a cave. Say, I made a place for you outside and you can stay there, Okay, we're not talking about a Neanderthal thought here, because a husband and wife are one, and as some people kind of have this confused, my wife is not a child. I didn't marry a child. In fact, that's creepy, and I think it's against the law, unless, sorry, you're a liberal Democrat. All right, but then probably you got all kinds of ways to excuse that. But that's against the law. I didn't marry a child. I never have wanted to marry a child. I wanted to marry somebody, according to Proverbs, that is wise. So I want a wife that is wise, that also, according to Genesis 2, that was made perfectly fit for me. So we can sit down and have a discussion. I don't want a doofus brain. I don't want a foolish person. I want somebody that enjoys reading. I want somebody that is a little bit intellectual, that we can sit and have a conversation about some things. You'll find that later all in the book of Proverbs as we're talking about it. So I'm not saying that a wife is just supposed to sit in the corner and do nothing. No, that's not what the Bible is saying, but the Bible is indicating that if all you do is nag and make everybody around you, that means the husband and the children, uneasy. And how is it uneasy? It's uneasy because you're like a dripping spout in the house. What is a dripping spout? It is something that is broken. That's what a dripping, it's something that isn't supposed to be in the house. So make sure that you are fit in this way. Charles Bridges mentions this. He's another great commentator on the book of Proverbs. He said, such a dropping utterly destroys a man's household's comfort and wears away a heart firm as stone. And so, wife, mother, make sure that you're not contentious. You know, contentious means to be arguing. It means to call, contention means you're causing friction all the time. And a wife shouldn't be there to cause friction all the time. In fact, if we are properly filled with the Holy Ghost, one of the emblems of the Holy Ghost is, guess what? Oil. What does oil do? Oil is a soothing agent. It's a lubricant. It's something that has healing properties. And I believe a good wife and a good mother is opposite. They are not contentious, because a contentious woman is unbearable. A couple other passages, as I said, that they're in here in Proverbs. Proverbs 21:9. Look at what it says. Proverbs 21:9. A number of times Solomon is mentioning to his son, be careful of the wife that you pick. Why? 21:9. It is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. All right? Sometimes I've reversed that, and I don't know why. It's sometimes when I'm reading it, I'm thinking it is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a wide woman in a brawling house. But I've switched it back properly. Than with a brawling woman in a wide house. And then in verse 19, it is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Doesn't that, I mean, that sounds pretty lonely, but for that guy, I guess that's solitude. Right? It's better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Then it also is found again in Proverbs 25. Proverbs 25, verse 24, look at, it is better to dwell in the corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman and in a wide house. Doesn't this sound similar to something we just read? He's saying it twice. I guess he needs emphasis. Look at Proverbs 27, verse 15. A continual dropping and a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hideth the wind and the ointment of his right hand, which bewrayeth itself. And so here in the Bible, here it's telling a continual dropping and a very rainy day, giving us that idea again of a leak, something that is out of place, something that needs fixed. It shouldn't be this way. So one characteristic of a disgraceful woman is the contentious woman is unbearable. Then let's go to, secondly, Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. The indiscreet woman is shameful. The indiscreet woman is shameful. So the contentious woman is unbearable. The indiscreet woman is shameful. Look at Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 22. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. It's pretty visual, isn't it? As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. So another characteristic the Bible is telling us of a disgraceful woman. One, they're contentious. Two, they don't have discretion. They're indiscreet. So what does lack of discretion mean? Lack of discretion literally means without taste. Void of tact. Void of grace. Without which, the Bible is saying, it's just mere outward beauty. And that mere outward beauty is like a nose ring in an unclean beast. I think all of us can visualize this, but I came up with a couple ideas that I think help us understand what it means to have somebody that is indiscreet, that doesn't have discretion. For instance, it's a good thing in a bad place. Okay? The Jews regarded the pig as an unclean animal. Now, the heathens around, some of them, worshiped the pig. But if you go back in history, all right, in Egyptian history, the Egyptians, when they wanted to make someone look very foolish, guess how they drew them? With a pig's head. So even to this day, when somebody calls you an oink oink, all right, and they come by you and they're like, all right, that isn't a term normally of endearment. All right, that's normally like, hey, you swine. They're like, oh, thank you. Oh, man, that is so neat. All right, that is not normally a compliment. And so in this case, saying that putting a very nice ornament, something that was meant to decorate, something that was meant to bring honor to, when you put that on something that is unclean, that is the same as a lady that on the outside has an appearance. All right, you may be able to spruce yourself up. You may be able to look the part on the outside, but inside, if there is no discretion, that means there's no grace. There's no taste. There's no subtle tact. It is like a pig wearing a nose ring. So what are a couple instances that show us this? All right, here's a pretty face and an ugly soul. I've met some folks like that. They think it's nice to be beautiful, but forget the inside. And so God does. You know, the liberal theologians always use this verse against us, and they say, hey, man looks on the outside, but God looks at the heart. I quote that to you right now. All right, I throw that back at you. And why is it? Because they usually use that to say that on the outside, it doesn't matter what you look like as far as a Christian. But what I am saying is, it doesn't matter if on the outside, all you care about is your looks, and on the inside, you're not letting God do what he wants to do, and that is to make you a new person, to create in you a clean heart. And if on the inside, you have an ugly soul, you can have the prettiest face you want. God says, you're a pig with a nose ring. It's not my words, it's God's words. You can get mad all you want, but that's what he says. So what is an indiscreet woman like? A pretty face and an ugly soul. What is an indiscreet woman like? A good head and a bad heart. A good head and a bad heart. You know, I've met some folks, I've met some ladies that have some education and they're intellectual and you can sit down and talk with them, but their heart is wicked. They're an indiscreet woman. That means, biblically, they're a pig with a jewel in their snout. What is another an example of an indiscreet woman. A pretty face, a very ugly soul, a good head and a bad heart, wise words and foolish deeds. You ever met someone that basically they have all the wisdom but they do exactly opposite? That's called an indiscreet person. And as a mom and as a wife, remember I said this to the men. Sometimes we look at our children and we say, hey, do what I say and not what I do. That's stupid. Because your kids are going to do what you do. And so one of those things is stop just saying that you love God and show them. Stop just saying, hey, I want you to do this and this and this, and do it. Wise words and foolish deeds make someone an indiscreet person. And in womanhood, the Bible says that that is shameful. Here it said in verse 11 and verse 22, as a jewel of gold and a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. What is a sign of disgrace in womanhood? A contentious woman, they're unbearable. An indiscreet woman is shameful. Then Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. We have two more, and then we want to try to cover the gracious woman. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 23. For an odious woman, when she is married, and an handmaid that is heir to her mistress. So you have to go back up, because a lot of times, and this was written by Agur, okay, and this was written not by Solomon, but by another man, according to Proverbs 30 and verse 1. But going back up in verse 21, it says, for three things the earth is disquieted, and for four which it cannot bear. So it's saying that these four things, the earth cannot even take them. It's horrible. You don't want them here on the earth. So what does it say? In verse 23, one of those things is an odious woman when she is married. All right, right away, the one thought that comes to me, because I know a little bit of vocabulary, I'm thinking, all right, so wow, I got a woman that stinks. All right, an odor-filled woman, that's not what it means. All right, so let's look in the book of Proverbs where that word is used a couple other times. I thought this was interesting. You're going to catch it right away. Look at Proverbs chapter 8. You're not going to see the word odious. You're going to see another word. Proverbs 8 and verse 36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. This is talking about wisdom. Wisdom says this. He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. All right, let's go to Proverbs 9 and verse 8. All right, you probably didn't find the word there, but let's go to Proverbs 9 and verse 8. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Proverbs 27, so we're there, and Proverbs 30, so in Proverbs 27. It's used a couple times others in the book of Proverbs, but in Proverbs 27 and verse 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Okay, so two times, Proverbs 8, Proverbs 9, there's a word that is the same word, the Hebrew word for odious. Hate. Proverbs 27, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy. So guess what the word odious means? To hate. To be an enemy. Now, can you imagine that? All right, so what is it saying? What is a characteristic of a disgraceful woman? Contentious, indiscreet, hateful. You know, I've met some ladies that are pretty hateful. You know what that means? They're odious. Now you learn something. All right, next time somebody is being hateful to you at work, you can be nice, all right, because they probably won't know it until they quickly look it up on Google. All right, be like, oh, man, you're just being odious today. Right? What that means is they're your enemy or they're hateful. Can you imagine in your home that mom and the wife is hateful? But that's what the Bible is saying here. An odious woman when she is married. What is that saying? She is hateful. Right? That means that she does not understand and does not express 1 Corinthians 13. What's 1 Corinthians 13? It means that she doesn't know what God's love is. She doesn't understand God's love. An odious woman is someone that is hateful. It's an enemy right within the home. Hateful. And what is hatefulness? Okay, hatefulness, if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it means that they are unforgiving. They're proud. They don't bear, love, charity, beareth all things, hopeth all things. Charity suffereth long and is kind. So all the things that are associated with godly love, the hateful wife doesn't have. She can't bear anything. She never has any hope. She cannot, she is not kind. She's not long-suffering. That means that you're an odious woman that shouldn't be in a home. So what are some characteristics of a disgraceful woman? Contentious, indiscreet, hateful. Then in Proverbs 2, the last one that I kind of see in the book of Proverbs as far as disgrace is found in Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 16. It says, to deliver thee from the strange woman, from the stranger with flattereth with her words, which forsaketh, notice what she does, forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. What it sounds like in this idea of covenant, to me, it sounds like this is a married woman. Why? Because she took a covenant before God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the death. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. And so what was Solomon in Proverbs 2 writing to his son? He's saying, be careful of a disgraceful woman. Why? Because she's contentious. She's indiscreet. She's hateful and she's adulterous. That's what this text in Proverbs 2 is saying. She doesn't know how to be focused on the man that God has brought into her life. And instead, she flitters around and flatters around with all kinds of other men. And the Bible says she's forsaking her covenant with God. She's forsaking that which she was taught from when she was a youth. And that's adultery. And adultery today is okay, it's fine. And this is what I tell you then, as ladies, then be careful. I have told, my wife has told some ladies, be careful even on social media. Why be careful on social media? All right, so, hey, you know what? We're just buddies and it's some other man. Be careful. Because you took a covenant with the man that God brought into your life, and don't be treacherous. Don't be adulterous. God put you two together. And you two alone. And that's why I have a problem with today's society. Even with dress. And now today they say, well, you know what? It's my choice. You know what I don't find in the Bible? I don't find pro-choice. I don't find pro-choice really with anything. You know what I find all the time in the Bible? I find that I need to put myself under. I find that I need to give God pro-choice. I need to give Him direction and leading in my life. And whatever I want to do, I need to die daily. So get out of here with your pro-choice. With your pro-choice in your body, and your pro-choice in your actions, and your pro-choice in your family. I want God's choice. And God needs to be in our lives and in our homes. And as a lady, then you surrender your choice to Him. Don't be adulterous. God give us righteous and gracious woman. One person wrote it this way. Be a woman of beauty, a woman of grace, a woman of excellence, beholding God's face. She walks with the Lord with integrity, knowing her purpose and destiny. No matter what happens, she walks in God's love, reflecting the beauty of her Father above. What are some things that describe a disgraceful woman? Contentious, indiscreet, hateful, and adulterous. I didn't come up with those. They're all from the book of Proverbs. God says, in our homes, and if you're going to be a godly woman, growing up to be a godly woman, you need to watch out for those things and get them out. Get those out and guard against them. So what is a graceful woman? First thing we're going to find is Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. The graceful woman. Graceful, according to the dictionary, Noah Webster's dictionary, defines gracious as being kind, virtuous, godly in speech and behavior, having a pleasant demeanor, forgiving, friendly, treating inferiors as equals, and dispensing unmerited favors. That's a hard list. But the Bible says in Proverbs 11 that a gracious woman retains honor. So what is a gracious woman? What are some characteristics? One, Proverbs 18 and verse 22 says this, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Proverbs 19 and verse 14 says, "House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord." So guess what right away I see when it comes to a graceful woman? A graceful woman is a gift to her husband. According to this, a prudent wife is a gift from the Lord. You know what? I'm so happy in our church that we have a lot of examples of gracious moms and wives. Great examples. Our younger folks are blessed because they see wonderful examples weekly here in the midst. Great examples. And this is what you need to understand if you're a younger person, a younger man, a younger woman. A gracious woman is a gift from God. It's a gift from God. And so understand that as a husband. Remember that as a husband. And thank God daily that God was so wonderful that He gave you that gift. Man, He gave me a gift of salvation. And guess what? I try to remember that daily. So shouldn't I also thank God for His other gifts? And a gracious, prudent wife is a gift to her husband. So graceful women are a gift to her husband. I think they're a gift to the church. Then, and secondly, look what she does in Proverbs 31. These are some characteristics of a graceful woman. Proverbs 31, verse 11. 31, verse 11. And most know the graceful, virtuous woman is described in Proverbs 31, verse 11. "The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil." And verse 23, "Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land." So she's God's gift to her husband, but a characteristic is that she honors and encourages her husband. In verse 11, "The heart of her husband doth trust in her." Now what does that mean? It means that there's a trustworthiness, there's a faithfulness in a graceful woman. And then in verse 11 it says, "so that he shall have no need of spoil." Without getting creepy, without getting kind of vulgar, what does it mean that the husband that has a prudent wife, a gracious wife, doesn't need spoil? What it means, and some of this, there is other areas. There's an emotional need, I believe. There's an intellectual need. But one of these needs is a physical need that here on this earth, a wife brings to a man. Without getting vulgar, what it's saying is that husband is so satisfied physically, he doesn't think about conquering any other woman. Remember spoil? That's a war term.
And going out for the spoils of war meant that you went out and you conquered. A man that has a gracious wife needs no other woman. A gracious woman, even physically, right? There are others, as I say, and I'm not trying to get vulgar, but here it's saying that this woman that God provided, a prudent wife, is from the Lord. And he knows that. And he's satisfied with her. Why? Because as a husband and wife, they've become one. And physically, they're one. And there's just a satisfaction there. And she honors and encourages her husband. Notice what it says in verse 23. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. That is in the middle of a discussion about the virtuous woman, the gracious woman. So guess what? One of the things she does, she is in some ways behind the scenes, and that man is known. He's known in the community. He's known around as somebody that has integrity, somebody that, man, it seems to prosper in his life. There's success in his life. And some of that happens because of a gracious woman. Gracious woman. She's God's gift to her husband. She honors and encourages her husband. Look at verses 14 and 15. She faithfully cares for her family. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. Look at verse 21. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. So I'm going to continue on with this thought in our next point because it's all covered in this passage. But she cares for her family. In today's day and age, there's a knock. In fact, this is one thing. You know what? I was really happy with the State of the Union address, but I was very disappointed because there was a point in the State of the Union where there's a bunch of liberal ladies that got up and cheered. And you know what they were cheering at? Because now in America, there's more women in the workforce. So what does that mean? Now in America, there's less women in the home. That is not something to cheer about as Americans. So it goes along with those ladies that were cheering. Guess what they are? Socialist. So in a socialist mindset, who owns your children? Who? The government. My kids are not wards of the government. Children, what did Psalm? We always go to the Bible. And in Psalm 127, God, let God be true and every man a liar. And what does God say? Lo, children are a heritage. Of the government? No. They're a heritage of the Lord. And so those children are given to us as families. And as moms, I understand maybe sometimes you need a little bit of funds. It's getting, you know, it seems like there's never enough money. I understand that. But be careful of wanting more money to the detriment of your home. Live with less. You won't regret it. Moms, and I know this because I've been at work and my wife has called me when my kids were little. And as I call it, it was spank fest. All right, that's not a buffet. It's not like a really exciting day. It's not Chuck E. Cheese's. All right, what spank fest means, that it's just, it's very depressing because everything you tell the kid to do, they don't. And you know what happens? It just seems like you're never making progress. You're never making any headway. But a good wife is faithful and cares for her family. She stays at it and she stays at it and she stays at it. She's faithful in the care for her family. Notice in verse 13 again, she seeketh wool and flax. She seeketh it and worketh willingly with her hands. Notice again in verse 21 and verse 22, she is not afraid of the snow. Let's back up. Let's go to verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. Verse 21, she's not afraid of the snow for her household. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. So what is evidence of a graceful woman? She's a gift to her husband. She honors and encourages her husband. She faithfully cares for her family. And then you'll notice she works diligently and faithful. Nowhere do I see this young lady, all right, and if she's an older lady now, nowhere do I see that she has all kinds of people that she's hired in, and she sits back and she's updating her Instagram account all day. What I find is that she knows how to work. And it's a shame in our culture that mothers would rather go to work in the workplace because they find that motherhood is hard. I say as what I say to the men, stop being a wuss. Stop being a sissy. Motherhood is tough. And that's why there's a whole bunch of moms that are socialists and liberals that don't want motherhood. You know what I say to them? Good riddance. You shouldn't be a mom because you'd raise some horrible kids, because motherhood is tough. Motherhood's not easy. Motherhood ain't for wimps. And those that are good mothers here, and thank the Lord we have some, you know it. But don't get discouraged. Don't say, well, man, if I had somebody else, maybe if I hired two nannies. No! That's not what God blesses. What God blesses is you, Mom, being home, and you instructing, and you helping. And it's been now for centuries, millennia. And guess what man does? Man does bring home the bacon. Man does go out and work. And he does come home and he is engaged in the home. But Mom is there taking care of the home front. How do I see that? I see it because it's right here in Proverbs. It's a graceful, virtuous woman. She's God's gift. I believe she's a gift to her husband. But, all right, so think about it. What makes a good church? Good families. That's why I believe it's a gift to a church. Good moms and good wives are a gift. And we want those gifts in our church. She honors and encourages her husband. She's faithful in care for her family, and she works diligently and faithful. Look at verse 20. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. You know what she is also? A graceful woman is kind. She's noble. And notice in verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Well, wait a minute. Many daughters have done virtuously? So you know what it seems to indicate in this passage? Not all women are gracious, virtuous women. It's special. And thank the Lord for a church that has a lot. Don't take it for granted. Younger moms, you got examples before you that have been faithful in the home, faithful wives. And the Bible says, you know what? Not all, some daughters are virtuous, but she excelleth them all. A virtuous, gracious wife and mother excels anything. It's far above rubies. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. I close with this thought. Because we've been talking about graciousness and virtue. And this, remember in Proverbs 11, I mentioned that a gracious woman retaineth honor and strong men retain riches, right? And I said it takes work. Where do I understand that from? Well, in 1 Corinthians, the Bible says this, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And this is my challenge to our moms, wives, older ladies, younger ladies, little ladies that want to hopefully someday be a great mom and a wife someday. According to Corinthians, the natural you is going to resist gracious and virtue. The natural you. Because it's spiritually discerned. Our natural instinct is going to be, no, man, I'm not going to do that. Why? Because the Bible always is directing us to be spiritual. And spirituality takes work. You know what? I have never, ever, and I've said this before. Now watch, one of you is going to be, you know, I got a couple of you sarcastic people and I have no idea where you get that from. All right, but there's a couple of you afterwards that are probably going to come down and you're going to try to prove me wrong. But I have not yet, until after this morning service, had somebody come up to me and said, oh, could you help me stop? All I do is pray. Not really had anybody. Like, all I do, I walk around all day and just pray. Or, I can't get the Bible out of my head. Help stop this. You know what? I've not really had anybody do that. You know why? Because the natural me doesn't want to pray, doesn't want to read the Bible, doesn't feel like coming to church, doesn't feel like getting up in the morning, doesn't feel like doing a whole bunch of things. Because the natural man, guess what? He's not spiritual. So I go back to this and say this as moms, wives, young ladies. You're going to have to work at this. And now in today's day and age, you got a whole bunch of the world. Used to be probably 40 years ago. All right, now I can't say really 30 years ago. It's more like 40 years ago. You know, motherhood, there was something special about it, even in America, even though it was a little twisted, but not now. We don't even know what motherhood is. We don't know what godly motherhood is. Godly motherhood, it's just, all right, so how can I get out of this? Why can't the government take care? Even in Indiana, you know what? We need preschool. Why do you need that? Because you want to be away from your kids. Because who's responsible for them? Oh, the government. See how it just keeps circling? See, there is something in government that actually is a little biblical. So having a biblical understanding of things is important, even when I come to vote. Why? Well, because I don't want the government sticking their nose into my home. No. The last I checked, my kids weren't born to you. They weren't born to you. God gave them to me. Why? Because it's a heritage. And that heritage is special. It's God-given. And as a mom, if you're a godly mom, a gracious wife, you're a gift to that home. Live up to that level. Don't take the world's knock to womanhood and motherhood and being a wife and accept the world's idea. You could be the CEO of Apple But who cares if your children don't have a mom? Because God says, lo, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. God, help us to get a biblical understanding of what a godly woman is.